Let's get into some NFL talk. Best website to read about the NFL is ProFootballTalk.com. Mike Florio is the proprietor. Can I use that word, Josh?
Yes,
like
you can.
Mike Florio, good to have you. The Albert Haynesworth situation, Mike. A lot of Steelers fans watching closely. Can Roger Goodell, I mean, if he doesn't suspend Albert Haynesworth, it tells me that's a message to NFL players that it's okay to grope waitresses.
Well, no, the message to NFL players is there is no message, there is no precedent, there is no fairness. Each case is going to be decided based on its own facts, with no guidance, with no warning, with no understanding of what can get you in trouble. What's going to get you in trouble is going to depend on what Roger Goodell decides in each given case, and I think it's wrong. I think it's horribly unfair. And that's why Roger Goodell wanted so badly to retain full authority over the personal conduct policy. He doesn't want some outside entity to review his decisions, because when an outside entity is involved, the outside entity is going to be concerned about things like consistency and fairness and doing the same things under similar circumstances. They're going to be all over the place, and they're going to distinguish each case based on its facts. And I just don't think it works that way. It just doesn't make sense for Ben Roethlisberger to have never been arrested or charged and to get a six-game suspension that was reduced to four games. And for Haynesworth, who has a history, he has an on-field history of violence, ripping off the helmet of Andre Girard and stomping on his forehead with a cleat 5 years ago. If he doesn't get suspended or fined because of this, it just makes no sense.
And if obviously, you know, people in Pittsburgh and Steeler Nation like to think, you know, everyone has a target at them and, you know, the chip on the shoulder. Well, can't you just kind of just say if he doesn't do anything with New England, that kind of puts New England in a different place? Just the argument from the Pittsburgh side of it, you almost can't even defend the NFL anymore. You have to almost agree with them that, yes, it does appear that way. He does have a problem with Pittsburgh and has New England in a higher place.
Yeah, but you know what? When you talk to people who aren't Steelers fans, they think the Steelers get preferential treatment from time to time. Now, maybe that's shifted over the past few years, but I remember after Super Bowl 40, the average fan was convinced that the league office was favoring the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think it's something that maybe will cycle back and forth over time. Right now, though, I can understand why Steelers fans would feel like they're being picked on by the league office.
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com here on Seibel, Starkey, and Miller. Mike, what did you make of Roger Goodell's decision on Terrell Pryor, suspended for five games whenever he joined, well, with the Raiders now?
Yeah, this is another decision I just don't agree with, because it does open Pandora's box. And even though the NFL publicly said that it doesn't set a precedent and that the league isn't trying to help the NCAA, I got a copy of the letter that was sent by Roger Goodell to Terrell Pryor. It's clear that the fact that Terrell Pryor got himself suspended by the NCAA was a factor in the decision to suspend him for five games. And it just makes me wonder whether and to what extent the NFL is going to continue to try to help the NCAA, which is responsible for the NFL's free farm system. And I've known for years, NFL coaches tiptoe on eggshells when it comes to the college game, because college coaches can restrict access to practice, and the coaches generally understand that they get game-ready players thanks to the NCAA, and the NFL doesn't have to pay a dime for any of that. So I think that's what the NFL's up to, and I think the NFL will look to do similar favors for the NCAA in the future.
Should Roger Goodell, Mike, be able to retroactively suspend people for transgressions that occurred during the lockout?
I don't think so. And apparently what happened, and the league office and the NFLPA are equally to blame on this, Michael Silver of Yahoo Sports reported yesterday that there were about 30 guys who got in trouble during the lockout. And 24 of them are not going to be fined or suspended in any way, but eight of them were regarded as repeat offenders, and those are guys that Roger Goodell wants to penalize in some way. And I just look at this as a matter of basic fairness and common sense, and I know a lot of people say, well, the league should be able to take action against bad guys, and I'm not saying Kenny Britt and Aqib Talib aren't bad guys, but how do you penalize someone for something that they did away from work when every hour of every day they were away from work because they'd been locked out of their place of work? I mean, there's just something about that screams out unfairness and screams out that it's wrong. And the idea that the NFLPA is allowing this to happen, I mean, I've said that if I was one of these eight guys, I would just sue everybody.
We're talking to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com here on Seibel, Starkey, and Miller. Mike, the Chris Johnson saga, how does it play out?
Well, I think he's going to continue to be absent from Titans camp. He's going to sit out possibly into the regular season. The real question is whether or not he shows up week 10. That's the time when you can report for duty and get credit for this year of your contract. If he doesn't show up by week 10, the Titans still hold his rights for two more years beyond this season. And, the guy wants a heck of a lot of money. The Titans don't want to give it to him, and it seems like they are miles apart right now.
How about the Carson Palmer situation? From what I understand, if he really wanted to screw over Mike Brown, he could show up, I don't know, week one or something, and they'd have to either keep him and cut a bunch of guys or grant him his wish and get him out of town. What do you make of that whole thing?
They wouldn't have to cut anyone because they're more than $11.5 million under the salary cap.
So okay.
It's not an issue of whether or not they'd have to scramble get under the cap. It's an issue of whether or not they would want to guarantee his full salary. If he's on the roster week one, that $11.5 million is fully guaranteed no matter what they do with him, whether they cut him, whether they put him on the bench, whether they play him. And because he has not actually retired yet, he's on the reserve, did not report list, I think it makes it very easy for him to just walk out of the weeds if he wants to do it some point between Labor Day and that Friday and say, here I am, deal with me, and they're going to have to make a quick decision. Do they cut him? Or do they keep him for week one and then owe him $11.5 million for the full season? Now, Mike Brown's hard-headed enough that he may just say, fine, here's the football, you go out and play. And I don't know that Carson Palmer wants to do that. But the fact that he hasn't filed his retirement papers tells me he's got something up his sleeve, and he could just show up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday after Labor Day.
If I were a Bengals fan, Mike, I would be so outraged by this situation. Is this not just a classic case with Mike Brown of somebody cutting off their nose to spite their face here?
Yeah, on the surface, it could look that way, but you got to keep in mind the way that Mike Brown has gone about building his team. He loves to find value players, specifically talented guys that other teams don't want for whatever reason, typically some sort of off-the-field transgression. So when you get these guys at bargain basement contracts, you want them, if they've had a good year, to honor their contracts. And what better way to send that message than to take a hard-line position with Carson Palmer? So in Mike Brown's mind, and I can understand where he's coming from, in his mind, it's worth more to be able to send that message than it is to get whatever you could get for Carson Palmer in trade. And you know what? You're not going to get a first-round pick for Carson Palmer now because that rookie wage scale makes it so much cheaper to go out and get a first-round pick and squat on him for 5 years. Watch going forward. Those first-round picks are only going to be given up in the rarest of circumstances where a team believes it's getting a truly great player.
Now, Troy Polamalu had to watch a lot of his teammates make a lot of money, guys that play on the same side of the ball. Is there any chance he plays this season and then the Chargers throw a bunch of dough so he goes back home to play to finish up his career at USC neighborhood?
Well, you know, same reasoning, first-round draft pick. If the Steelers put the franchise tag on Troy Polamalu, no one is going to give up two first-round draft picks for any player at this point.
What about Mike Wallace?
Is this his third year or his fourth?
Third year.
Okay, he'll be a restricted free agent. They put him at the highest possible tender, a first-round pick and a third-round pick, and I think the same reasoning. That's a lot to give up when you have to also give the guy enough money that the Steelers won't match it. And you know, the fact that he's only got 3 years in, that puts the Steelers in the driver's seat because they can restrict both guys if they don't get him signed to new contracts. And the only time it would happen now is some point between January and late February because the Steelers don't do business on contracts once they get to the start of the regular season.
Last question from Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike, we're talking about fantasy football today and whether this enhances people's enjoyment of watching the NFL or whether it basically ruins their lives at some point because these people get obsessed with it. What do you make of the whole fantasy football phenomenon? Do you play?
I do in a league with family members, and of course they love it when they beat me, and when I beat them, I was supposed to beat them, so I really don't get to enjoy it very much, but it has really enhanced the overall interest in pro football. It used to be you'd be interested in the one team that you love and maybe a team or two that you hate. Now you're watching highlights of every game. You want the red zone package. You want to see what the guys on your team are doing and what the guys on the team that you're playing that weekend are doing. So it has really done tremendous things to enhance the interest in the NFL, even though it just screws up rooting interest, especially if you've got someone on your team that's on one of those NFL teams that you happen to hate.
Exactly. Mike, great stuff as always. Best NFL website going, ProFootballTalk.com. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Thanks, guys.